public hearing of the Town of Cara Zoning Commission. Thank you for taking the time to attend and participate. My name is Richard Booth. I am the Chairman of the Zoning Commission. The other members of the Commission who are in attendance tonight are Susan Olkowski, Mary Haynes, David Hart, John Gallagher, liaison for the Planning Board, Tony Puro, and a member who was absent tonight but was at the meetings, Bill Hummel. This public hearing is being held pursuant to Section 266 of the New York State Town Law. We will begin the hearing tonight by reading the notice of the public hearing, which was published in the Daily Mail Wednesday, April 13, 2011. Town of Cara, Greene County, New York, notice of public hearing proposed zoning law. Please take notice that the Zoning Commission of the Town of Cara has scheduled a public hearing to be held on the 26th day of April, the year 2011, at 7 p.m. at the Cara Elementary School, located on Main Street, Town of Cara, County of Greene, State of New York. The purpose of the meeting and public hearing is for the Zoning Commission to receive comment on the new proposed zoning law. Cara Rum, County Clerk, County of Cara, dated April 11. The Commission is also joined this evening by two consultants who are helping the town with the drafting of the proposed zoning law. Joining us is Nan Stolzenberg of Community Planning and Environmental Associates. Nan is a certified professional planner and is a planning consultant to the town. She will be leading off tonight's public hearing with a brief informational presentation to fill you in on the work that has been done up to this point by the Commission. Also joining us this evening is John Lyons of the firm of Brandt & Lyons. John is an attorney who specializes in zoning and land use. He is helping the town with the drafting of the zoning law. After Nan Stolzenberg's presentation, John will run through the guidelines for speakers for tonight's public hearing. The Zoning Commission is an advisory body. Our job is to write a zoning law for the town. When our work is finished, we will hand a recommended zoning law up to the town board. In November of last year, we made public our first draft of the law and maps. We presented those at two public meetings and asked for public comment. You responded. We received 130 pages plus of comment. We read each one and every one of those pages of comment. Your comments were thoughtful and raised some excellent points. We learned a lot from those comments and have worked hard to put those comments to good use. As a result, with your comments in hand, we sat down and drafted many changes to both the draft zoning law and the zoning map. Nan will speak to you shortly in more detail about the changes we threw out in the first round of comment. The purpose of tonight's public hearing is for us to receive your comments on the newly revised version of the draft zoning law and zoning map. We are looking forward to hearing your comments this evening. I will now turn the meeting over to Nan Stolzenberg, who will make a brief presentation to bring you up to date on our work and to summarize the changes that have been made to the zoning law and zoning matters.
Hello, everybody. I just want to give you a brief background on how the Zoning Commission came to be and bring you up to speed on some of the changes that Dick referred to. To refresh everyone's mind, the Zoning Commission was appointed by the Town Board to draft a zoning law for the Town of Cara. And the Commission started off several years ago and worked on updating the town's site plan law first. And the reason was because they wanted to get that very important tool up to date where it should be to work for the town, and then to evaluate what other needs the town has that were not addressed by the site plan law. After quite a bit of study and analysis, hydrological study and other studies that were done, the commission decided that there were other aspects of the town that were not adequately addressed by the site plan law and began drafting the zoning law. To draft the zoning law, the commission relied on the adopted comprehensive plan of the town, as well as research on building trends and population trends, as well as a thorough analysis of the environmental resources and the traffic resources and all of those things, so we could learn as much about the town as we could. Through many meetings of the commission, the draft went through several iterations to be developed. And in the process, the commission tried to set up a very transparent process, so to keep the public involved and informed of each step of the way. All of the meetings of the zoning commission were open. The documents and all of the maps, all of the studies have been placed online and available to anyone in the public. Public comments were taken through the process. As Dick mentioned, in November, the Zoning Commission held a series of meetings, two public, all public meetings, but two for the public and one for the town board and the planning board to present what the zoning was all about and highlight what it was. And at that time, we took written comments, as he said. We had received 130 pages of comments from many, many different people. And they were, as he said, thoughtful and excellent. And they, between November and March, the Zoning Commission worked through each one of the comments and questions that were raised. All of those comments were placed online and available so everyone could read what those questions were, as well as the answer and the response that the Zoning Commission gave to each and every single one of those that came through. And what I want to do is just go through a highlight of some of the changes that were made from the November draft that you will notice. A couple things to take note of was that the commission changed the zoning map to expand the areas that are allowed for commercial use. They added significantly more area that's dedicated to mixed residential commercial use along routes 145, 23, and 32. They adjusted the area devoted to the industrial zone to ensure that it fit into the neighborhood that it was in. They changed the stream corridor, which is an overlay zone to protect the water quality in the streams, to coincide, instead of with every stream in the town, to coincide with those that are classified by the Department of Environmental Conservation as a what's called a Class C stream that's suitable for trout. So it reduced somewhat the reach of the stream corridor overlay. The use table was fine-tuned and expanded to allow additional commercial uses. The district that was originally in the earlier versions called Highway Commercial down at the end of Main Street was renamed Main Street Commercial and expanded the uses and the lot and building dimensions so that those parcels there could be maximized for commercial use while maintaining the Main Street streetscape that is called for in the comprehensive plan. The commission added what's called a municipal district to cover the municipally owned lands in town. They expanded and offered more flexibility by relaxing the rules relating to the existing uses that would become non-conforming. Some of the lot size and the dimensions were changed to allow for smaller lots in all of the hamlet areas. They offered a density bonus for conservation subdivisions. They increased the commercial building footprint size to allow for larger buildings to be built in certain commercial districts. They adjusted the size of the signs along Main Street so that they were consistent with the Main Street streetscape and allowed more flexibility in use of temporary signs. Another thing that was changed was they changed the definition of a convenience store and removed, if the original definition had a building size limit on it, and they removed that building size limit. The zoning law has a quite extensive set of definitions, which is a very important part of the zoning law, and the commission went through and fine-tuned and clarified some of those definitions to ensure that we all knew what the terms meant. They changed the rules and the review process relating to the keeping of livestock to apply now only in the hamlet of Cairo. So that was a significant change. And some of the parking requirements were changed to allow for additional parking and taking into account things like snow storage. So those are just a highlight of some of the changes that were made. If you're interested in seeing what the changes were from version, the November version to the current version that we're reviewing, the March version, you can look at the questions and the answers, as well as there is online a comparison document, so you can see underlined or deleted every single change that was made from one version to the next, so you can follow along with that. I did want to note that we are interested in your comments tonight on the March version of the draft zoning law. As I just mentioned, there have been several, quite a few changes that made to it. So hopefully we're all working off of the March 2011 version. So that's just a little discussion on where we started and where we've come. And I will turn it over to John Lyons, who will explain the process for tonight's public hearing.
Thank you, Dan. Welcome. Thank you for coming this evening. My name is John Lyons. I'm going to just run through briefly the guidelines that we've set up for tonight's public hearing. We're using for this evening's hearing guidelines that are in accordance with the recommended procedures for holding public hearings that are set forth by the New York State Department of State. We've set up this structure tonight to try to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to speak and keep the hearing moving. We're asking all speakers to sign in. There's a desk right outside the door. If you wish to speak tonight, please make sure you put your name on the list. We'll be calling names on a first-come, first-served basis. Please keep in your seats and then approach the podium when your name is called. We have a stenographer here, Teresa, just down below me. She's going to be taking down everything that everyone says so that the commission will have a good record of the comments that are made tonight. In order for her to keep up with you, please try to speak at a measured pace. Please try to speak clearly. If she's having a problem, she'll give us a high sign, but it'll make life easier if you just take your time with your comments. Please lead off your comments. Because the comments are being taken down in the record, please give your name. If you have a name that's difficult to spell, it might help, Teresa, if you spell your name as well. And also tell us where you live, and then you can lead into your comments. We're giving each speaker this evening 5 minutes to speak. I'll be keeping time. The object of that rule is to make sure that everybody that signed up has an opportunity to speak before the night gets too late. We already have at least 2 hours worth of speakers signed up, so we want to keep the meeting moving. I'll be keeping time, and at about 30 seconds, I'll give you a sign, which will be a signal to start wrapping your comments up. Please be courteous to your fellow speakers. Please stay quiet so that the commission can hear what they have to say, and so that the stenographer can take down everything accurately. Please address your comments to the members of the commission, not to the audience, using the microphone that's located down front. There won't be any question and answer tonight. The purpose of tonight's meeting, as I said, in accordance with Department of State guidelines, is for the commission to listen to what you have to say, and your comments will be considered as the commission meets afterwards, just as they've done in the past. Something that's not on the guideline sheet that got handed out, but I would ask if you can to please, if you have a mobile phone, to put that to vibrate or to off, just as a courtesy to speakers so that phones aren't going off as people are trying to deliver the comments. Also, if you do have to be on the phone for some reason, we'd ask you to step outside in the back to have your conversation. Finally, please avoid repetition. If somebody's already said what you have to say, it'd be great to come forward and let the board know that you agree with what that person has said, but there's no need to go through the comments all over again. But if you do agree, come forward, make sure the commission knows that so they know that more than one person agrees with that idea. Finally, if you have anything that you would like to submit to the commission that's in writing, a letter, a report, please hand that up after you make your comments, and we'll make sure that that gets included in the record. So I'm going to begin calling the names. I'm going to apologize in advance for mispronunciations. No disrespect meant by that. I'll do my best. The first name on the list this evening is Peter Ricci. Ricci? Mr. Ricci, if you'd come forward and make your comments.
I wish to preface by thanking the board. I can tell you, I'm really very disappointed in how this process has gone, particularly in the announcement, as was just said by Mr. Lyons. 5 minutes limit to comments was not in the announcement. So I thank you for wasting my valuable time. In addition to reading the proposed draft law, the minutes of the meetings of the zoning commissioner, which were largely sketchy, not much use, unfortunately, and all the public comments published today, I have sought advice and comment from legal counsel. I had the draft law reviewed by 3 attorneys involved in land use practice. One attorney acts as legal counsel for a small village in a neighboring county. This town recently established a zoning law in a similar fashion to Caro by hiring a consultant, starting with a template and cutting and pasting. The town paid a consultant over $80,000 and is now in the process of rewriting the law as is unworkable in their situation. Caro has not yet passed the zoning law and is already experiencing problems with zoning. The proposed project by Hannaford objects to siting its building next to the main road with the parking in the rear. This requirement of the proposed zoning law is not only greatly inconvenient for customers, especially the elderly and handicapped, but is incongruous with the other buildings in the vicinity. The proposed mountain bike trail network for the Round Top area is meeting with resistance from individual property owners.
Excuse me, can you just start with the proposed mountain bike trail?
The proposed mountain bike, unfortunately I have 5 minutes, so I have to speak fast. The proposed mountain bike trail network for the Round Top area is meeting resistance from individual property owners that do not already own a business, as the proposed zoning law does not permit most new businesses that would allow property owners to capitalize on the trail network. They see no benefit to themselves. This is a tough argument to refute. The process. I strongly object to the process by which the proposed law was drafted. In drafting the Caro Comprehensive Plan, community input was sought out. The Zoning Commission was appointed, and while the public was permitted to attend meetings, it was established the public would not be allowed to ask questions or make comments. Why would one attend such a meeting? Many very useful and insightful comments have been made and incorporated in the public hearing process. This participation should have been part of the process from the beginning. Shouldn't the people who live and work in the various hamlets of Caro have had a say in the drafting of the law that regulates the use and occupancy of their homes, not just dictated to by an appointed commission? The idea that that is what the public hearing process is for is a red herring. I'll say that again. The idea that that is what the public hearing process is for is a red herring. There is a huge difference, and anybody who's had responsibility like this knows that. The dynamic outcome and message that is sent in the process where all parties are part of that process from the beginning, and one where people are merely allowed to comment on and patch a finished document. It's also interesting that a law which took years in the making and was unveiled in November 2010 was originally given a public comment period of only 22 days. I hope it is clear by the public comments to date that there is much work yet to be done. The concept. In the discussion near the end of the formation of the Caro comprehensive plan. It was discussed that the plan was a roadmap for Carroll, and the town ordinances and or zoning was the law to make it happen. It was clearly stated that comprehensive zoning was not the only route to follow, and that much would be accomplished, could be accomplished with local town law and ordinances. Nowhere have I read, seen, or heard anything other than comprehensive zoning was discussed. If one reads the minutes of the zoning meetings, at the March 9, 2000 meeting, suddenly the commission is reviewing a draft of quotes documents. Where is the discussion by the community of Carroll that this is the road we need to go down? Do we really need an onerous, lengthy document such as the proposed law at this time? Have we thought about or discussed thoroughly the consequences and unintended consequences, 150 plus pages of this law? Remember my opening comments about the town rewriting the law. While myself and others have addressed some of the specific issues, unfortunately I didn't get to those, with respect to the zoning law, I believe it is clear we should take a step back and analyze what specific land issues we need to address at this time and to assess what measures need to be taken to rectify those issues. It appears to be the discussion we have not had. Town ordinances and or some form of zoning will certainly come into play. To pass this onerous law's outline is overkill, and I believe it will exacerbate many of the issues we need to address.
Mr. Rickey, do you have a copy of your statement?
I do.
Can you give to the board?
No, I don't.
Nancy Stott, please come forward.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Stott, and I live in Carroll, Canada Drive. First, I'd like to say that I personally am not a fan of zoning. One of the reasons I moved to Carroll was because there was no zoning. I don't really like people meddling in what I do with my property. That having been said, I think that this commission has done a very good job. One of the things that I watched zoning go in up and down Hudson Valley, and one of the things that most zoning commissions do not do is take into consideration public comments, and this zoning commission has. And I truly appreciate that sensitivity, which has been absent in other formats that I've observed. I agree with Mr. Rickey on the comments regarding parking. Parking needs to be visible and accessible for people to use it. People are lazy. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the way it is. I also think that the prohibition on commercial wind towers is short-sighted because in view of future energy needs and our desire to reduce our carbon footprint, wind towers are one of the ways we can do that. Yeah, they don't look so hot, but neither do high-tension transmission lines from coal-fired or natural gas-fired facilities. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would Mark Ruby please come forward?
My name is Mark Ruby. I'm a co-owner of a construction company here in Carroll. History being, we have been in business approximately 33 years. Our family's been here as natives since basically 1916. I find the zoning board, unfortunately, to be something that is intrusive to the character of where I grew up, where my family has grown up. The lure of living here in this county, this part of the state, has always been the freedom we enjoy. I don't find this to be a freedom. I understand the need for protectionism. I understand the need that there are times where issues arise which call for actions that aren't pleasant. I do also feel that government in itself has become onerous. My dealings with the town throughout the years have been pleasant for the most part. We are trying to be in the character of the town and county to be lawful. We apply for our permits, we apply for the inspections, we apply for the numerous things that we're asked to do by the town officials, and basically have a good relationship. There have been the downsides through the years with sometimes the officials and their own potential, say, character flaws in how they administer what is considered to be the law of the land. I can understand the zoning issue, but I don't accept the concept of the degree that is being brought forth. Basically, that's my statement. That's my feelings. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Groovy, please come forward.
Richard Groovy, I am the co-owner of Gemini Construction with my twin brother. We have operated a business, as I've said, in our particular instances, our business is located in a non-conforming district, which is unfortunately located next to our residential homes on a side street. As my brother has instructed you, we operate under the law of the land. But I don't believe that more regulations and more fingers being put on your back to make you do certain things. Because first of all, operating a business, there has to be a give and take. If you expect somebody to respond to your emergencies or whatever, and you unfortunately have a construction company living next to you, there are some people who may find a problem with that. There are other people that are very happy to know that there are individuals who want to take the risk in this country and not go and just take a job, put in their time, collect a retirement, and not be part of the land that they have lived in all their lives. As my brother instructed you, our family came here in 1916 and became resort owners after they purchased property. They saw how this community has held on to the dead dream that there's a resort population that wants to come to Greene County, which is wrong. There is nobody here who feels that this is a resort area. So your land uses are predicated on the fact that you believe that there are people who want to come from all over the area and come here as a resort type of customer. That's unfortunately a mistake. That is not true. And everybody here who tries to eke out a living, especially the small business owners, find it harder and harder and harder to maintain a business volume and a professionalism when not only do they have to follow the laws that some of them are not even enforced, that are on the books as of right now, but to add more and more laws and basically fines and violations on your back, it takes the fact of living and wanting to be a member of the community, and it takes and puts a dark side to that. I'm also a volunteer fireman. I just got my life membership for 30 years in the Carroll Hose Company. I can't respond as a fireman because I have a small business to run, and I believe that some of the things that I've read about and have seen, and through my discussions with the documents and the local townspeople, I believe some of the things need to be looked at in a little bit different light, because some of the regulations, you may not realize it, they may work for part of the population, they will not work in a general way for all the population. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. John Morgese, come forward.
Good evening. I'm not going to talk too much about the zoning draft law, but I would like to know who's going to enforce this zoning. Carroll's present code enforcement office, for whatever reason, can't or won't enforce the town codes that we have now. What it all comes down to is how much is it going to cost Carroll, the taxpayers, and how is Carroll going to pay for it?
Thank you. Would Peter Mossman come forward?
Good evening. First of all, I want to commend you on all your hard work over the past 3 years. You put in a lot of time, and I thank you for your efforts for our community. When the original zoning commission was put together, I was a part of it. And I was on for approximately a year, roughly until the time that the new site plan was adopted. During my time on the zoning commission, the main theme that I got out of it was that we didn't want to be over-restricted or over-regulated. In my opinion, reading this proposal over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, it seems to me like maybe we lost that a little bit. In my opinion, it is a little over-restricted and a little over-regulated. I am pro-zoning. I do think that we do need some regulations to help our town grow in a positive way. Once again, I think this may be just a little bit over the top. Some of my concerns are we have restrictions on B&Bs and inns. B&Bs and inns have no negative impact. I believe that B&Bs and inns should be allowed in just about any place in the community. If anybody can tell me anything negative about having a B&B in your community, I'd love to hear what the negative would be about that. Why restrict the use of recreational, indoor, and outdoor businesses to the main corridors? Basically, if you're on 23 or 32, you can have a recreational, indoor, and outdoor business, but you get off into the woods, where we do have a lot of commercial activity up there, why not let something along those lines go in there? One of the things that we do need to do, and not biased because my family owns a resort, but biased because resorts are a huge part of our commercial tax base around here, we need, I believe, to enhance the resorts with other items, such as recreational indoor facilities, if they were to come back. Also, why not allow for any new retail in the Hammonds, RR1, RR2, or the Mountaintop? My family has a golf resort. We have a pro shop. If I'm reading it correctly, a pro shop is a retail store. If I would have a destructive fire and lose 100% of it, I wouldn't be able to put my pro shop back up on my golf course. That's a possibility. If somebody wanted to come in and again, enhance our community, enhance the benefits of our community, and that is to help our resorts and help tourism, which is one of our main drivers up here, why not let somebody come in to our mountaintop area where the resort people are and allow them to put a small gift shop or an antique store? According to this, we can't do that. We need to offer our tourists a little bit more. This seems like we're not going to be able to do that unless we send them all the way down Main Street, Carroll. Signage. Another thing that jumps out at me is signage. We live in the woods. You know, it's hard to find a way around. I have a hard time telling people how to get to my resort. According to this, it doesn't look like we can have any signage. The use of advertising billboards is not allowed. It's not permitted. We have great signage right now. Myself and a couple of the other resorts got together last year. We redid all the signs. We get commented on all the time from the tourists that are in the area. On the signs are great. We know where we're going now. We can get to the Log Cabin Cafe. We can get to the town of Carroll. We can get to Rita Mar driving range. We can get to Black and Mountain Golf Course. I think signage in a wooded community like we have, I think it's very important. These are just a few of my concerns. There's many more. I'm not going to go on. I'm sure plenty of people have more concerns behind me. Once again, I thank you very much. I commend you for the work. I am not anti-zoning. This is all my opinion on what you've done. I thank you. And that's all. Thank you.
Would Edward Mosman please come forward?
My name is Edward Mosman. Once again, like my brother, I want to thank you guys for your hard work. I apologize for not being part of the process earlier, even though I understand you couldn't make very many comments. But I think a lot of us in here have taken it for granted that everything was going to be done okay, and we didn't really know the impact. I agree with everything my brother has said, but there are a few more points I want to bring up. A lot of it, too, is not just our resort businesses, but if there's a lot of restrictions in a lot of areas on what you can do on your property, lot sizes, percentage of what the property that you can use. We live in a mountain, and unfortunately, a lot of us have property that has over 25% grade. If you can't use that property as part of your acreage of percentage use, take our resort, which is on 100 acres. We could only probably use 15 acres of our property. to me, that's not right. That's not fair. Because you have to take in consideration water. You've got large ponds on your property. That does not count towards your square footage that you could use. There's also other parts of here. You talk about grades, parking lots, to have only a 3% grade. Yeah, that works great in some spots. A lot of spots, it doesn't work. Same thing with an 8% grade on your driveway. And Round Top, I don't think we go to 8% grade on a lot of our, we just can't do it. Things like that, I think we just have to look at the community that we live in. I do, like my brother, believe there is a need for some sort of zoning. But from other town people that I've talked to that have zoning and big part of zoning boards, they kind of laughed when they heard that ours was 163 pages. Because a lot of towns have smaller zoning because they're not as restricted. I'm trying to go a little faster. I do agree with the lady with the wind towers because you have to think about the future. Also about the commercial size footprint of buildings. Yes, if you guys did increase the size, but you have to think about the long-range picture. Say, for instance, somebody one day may want to come along and buy our business and our clubhouse is too small for them, which it is. A 10,000 square foot footprint for a clubhouse, a business like ours, it's not big enough. So we need to look at the big picture and really think about where the town wants to go and where the town should go. Acreage, same thing on acreage. We have a project going before the town, and if zoning came in, projects like that would never happen. We are going to try to do it the best we can to make it fit to our community. To say across the bypass here, where you can only use, was it 8 acres of land to build on. To me, that's kind of ridiculous. If you have your water area, things like that, you have the water, the sewage, and everything else meets code, why not keep it down to where we can? This community has driven people away for years and years and years, and doing this, not just going to hurt the resorts, but it's going to hurt the construction guys, it's going to hurt all the landowners that have property here that want to expand. I do want to see this town go forward. We've been here for 40-something years, and we do want to stay. That's all I have to say.
My name is Tony Bell, Maine State Bureau. I visited this town about 45 years ago, and when I did, I saw something written here today which reminded me of the town that was at Maine Street. It's the cultural and economic focus of the town, and it's filled with vibrant businesses, beautiful buildings, and landscape streets. It has a diversity of retail and service business that meets the needs.
Beautiful businesses and landscape streets.
It has a diversity of retail and service businesses that meets the needs of local residents and provides jobs for all incomes and education levels. Unfortunately, this was written in 2004, not in 1965. I have a business down at the end of Main Street, and I bought in Cairo because there was no zoning. And if you look up Main Street on a Saturday or a Friday, it looks more like a ghost town than a vibrant town. So whatever has happened in the last 45 years, I hope that zoning doesn't make it worse. I think the business on Main Street needs to be helped, and there needs to be more businesses brought in, and not creating laws and regulations which keeps businesses out of Main Street. We need them in there. Thank you.
Would Joan Geitz come forward, please?
Actually, I said yes. My name is Joan Geitz. I live on Main Street. And I feel a little guilty because I haven't gone through the zoning law. But I am not against some regulations. However, I bought my house almost 20 years ago, and I'm living here permanently 9 years. And I have seen some businesses open up and close, open up and close. And every time they closed, very often, they found that it was difficult to deal with the town. Regulations in this town, or maybe the people who run the town, I don't know what it is, because I don't own a business, although I have a commercial residential residence, doesn't encourage people to come to Carroll. And I came when every store was filled in Carroll. And I don't see people wanting to come here if you have all the regulation. Some regulation is good, but I don't feel it should hurt the financially strapped people who maybe want to start a business and can't because of all of these obstacles that are put in front of them. I don't know what you're trying, what your vision is for this town. I really don't know. But and I do believe you'd like to see it aesthetically pleasing when you come through the town. But what it looks like is the feeling. It's the way people feel in a town that makes a town bring others into it and want to live here. And if somehow it isn't there, I hear from outside of Carroll, like people just don't want to come to Carroll. And I feel very badly about it because there are a lot of good people here and we have a beautiful Angela Cannon Park. And it was always so busy. But regulations like this, I think you have to look at the economy and things are changing. Resorts are not the big thing anymore, and there are towns all, we have a lot of competition. We have Greenville, Athens, Coxsackie, we have Catskill, a lot of competition, and they're all by the river, we have a creek in the back, which is in favor. I wish you would build up that kind of publicity about Angela Cannon Park and its Catskill Creek, but we're not inviting people in, and we need diversity, and we need them to feel welcome, and we just give them a hard time. So I don't know where it's coming from, because I'm not on the board, I don't know what goes on. I'm just saying what I've seen in the last 9 years. So.
Gary Campbell, please come forward.
First, like the Moscow, I'd like to thank you. It's not an easy job in that area. It definitely isn't. I commend you on that. My, we're starting an association to bring tourism into this area. Not like some people say, tourism's not that area. We have to market it. My concerns, I mean, I want zoning. I want aesthetically pleasing things. And unfortunately, sometimes we need regulations to get those things. I understand that, and we do need regulations to a degree. My concerns are with some of the resorts, the small business, like the Mossman said. I don't want to see them or successful businesses that we already have strangled. I don't want to see them be put in a situation where they can't grow to prosper as we can market this area and grow. There's a reason why we don't have this area marketed. It's because there are some unpleasing, there are some unpleasing looking sites in town. People come because they want to see things that look good. They want things to be nice. Some people want a form of regulation. You know, Main Street can't prosper again. You know, my other concern that was made before is, who's going to regulate this? You know, one person can't do this. There's parts of the town now that, you know, that are in violation of certain regulations, but no one's enforcing them. You know, one person cannot do what that large booklet states and wants to enforce. It just can't be done. You're going to, in my mind, need a committee. You're going to need people out there to enforce it. Who's going to do that? How is revenue going to be generated from that? Are we going to, you just assess fines and people don't pay and it goes nowhere? Are we going to levy these onto taxes? People don't pay the fines.
how are we going to correct some of the unpleasing sights that are out there? Some of these buildings have been dilapidated and abandoned for years. You're not going to bring new business in and enforce some of these zoning regulations while you still have them there. I'm sorry, I don't feel that way. As a small business owner and someone that wants to help bring doors in, and I've been doing research, it's sad that you need nice looking things to bring people in. That's part of the reason why this town is a problem. We have a lot of dilapidation. How can we enforce that? You know, I don't want to see the small business people strangle hell and not be able to grow and yet have these other places deteriorate and have nothing happen to them. You know, I want to see the proper enforcement done on that. I mean, I'm for zoning. I mean, it's a little, I agree, that book is overwhelming. Maybe it's too restrictive to begin with. Maybe we should possibly think about starting a little smaller and growing as the process grows to just put that whole thing implemented in just a first time. To me, it's overwhelming. You know, start slow, grow with it. I'm sorry, I don't want you to judge my backyard either. You know, there's certain things there that are great. You know, I understand the aspect of windmills, but boy, I don't want one next to me. I'm not gonna lie. They're loud, they're noisy. In my mind, they're a cycle. You know, so there are parts of it. I guess I'm being biased in a way, I guess. You know, I'm sorry, but I won't cut it short. You know, it's great. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm in favor of zoning, maybe not to that extent right now, or take into consideration a lot of these small businesses. Let's try to make this a place to grow, okay? Thank you.
Jane Schneider, please come forward.
How's everybody? My name is Jim Schneider. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, grew up in Berlin. Family's been here for 7 years. We're all very concerned about the zoning, and I think a good portion of this plan needs to be scrapped to be done. That's the baseline. I think there are multiple inadequacies and inequities in this plan. To start off, Mr. Booth and Dan, you both stated today that you addressed every letter and put every letter on your desk. Well, my letter, which was a succinct one-page letter handwritten, was not put on the internet, but just answered to please see the map. And I think that's disrespectful and inaccurate when you say that you addressed every letter. I guess my main concern, my grandparents came here many years ago. My family owned the land across from McDonald's, and that's a commercial piece of land over there. And the current recommendations by this board are for mixed residential or non-retail, among some other things, which I find baffling. I think that in this town, anybody here used to get choked off. I had taxes every day. I see my mom get them. I know everybody else here is getting them. We need to invite business to this town. And to put all these restrictions on all our pieces of property, especially commercial, I don't speak for commercial. Yeah, we all have our own acts to grind here. I think that developers that might not come in and develop that piece of property, they won't come. They see all these encumbrances or restrictions on the property. So, and I don't think, we also know what type of residential we'll get on a highway. And I think we try to prevent a certain, we don't know how the most coming from Casco up here, that seems what the planning board has promoted in some way, shape, or form. And I think that would be a big problem for the town. I don't think the town would want it. Certainly not everyone. I think this overall restricting business will cut down our tax revenue, which we need jobs, we need tax money. And we're not going to do that with all these restrictions that are currently recommended by the commission, made by the commission's not the planning board. I think we should allow all plans that commit my suggestions for that piece of property, that would be self-centered, which is mine and my family's, would be allowed anything to come in commercialized. And what the planning board and the town look at it. Town says they don't want it, don't do it. But to have those restrictions in place, that would be something that will remain undeveloped forever or have low income housing or something to that effect. as the current recommendations seem to promote. Thank you.
Bob Carey, Colonel Butler Road. We've been playing around with zoning for over 10 years now. Every time we look around, the latest is we have a booklet here with 160 something pages in it. Catskill has one. The actual zoning is 34 pages. Something's wrong. I mean, we don't need 160-something pages. One of the things I've noticed is they mentioned downtown Main Street. There's nothing mentioned about uptown. Is there an uptown? I assume there is. If we have a downtown, we should have an uptown. No mention. How many years are we going to continue doing this, or is this going to be the final cut? Are they going to put this information on a computer? Is this stuff going to be available to all the people when we're using a computer? That's basically what I have to say. Thank you.
Frank Maggio, please come forward.
Roundtop. I didn't really expect to be speaking tonight, but I just felt it important that maybe I should have my say too. I respect the board here for wanting to develop different ideas of development in our community. What amazes me is that the town has ordinances in it, and the town doesn't appear to, my observation has been that the town really doesn't follow through on a lot of their ordinances. So now they want to have a town zoning committee to sit here, that we haven't had a chance to vote on these people, but they're elected, and through the town board, I guess, and now they're going to dictate to us once this zoning has come in. 26 years ago, I resided on Long Island, and I had a landscape business there and had some trucks and whatnot, and decided that, well, we heard about this old resort for sale, Round Top. So I came up and looked around. My wife and I decided that we would buy that. And when we came up, I can remember living in that house the first, about the second year that after we moved up. And in the wintertime, hardly a car went by. And it was like, you know, you could count the cars all night. And if it was on one hand, it would be a lot. And I watched. And that was in the 80s. And I watched. And we started up construction business here. And I saw a steady growth in the area. And strangely enough, the dilapidated houses and dilapidated properties seem to disappear, although there's still a few around, but a lot of them have disappeared. And the community looks far better than it did 25, 26 years ago. And new houses have come in, and people from out of the area, and they've built and they've constructed these beautiful houses. There are beautiful houses, and not only smaller houses, but there are large houses. And the community has developed. What bothers me is Maskins up here. We've got Bavarian Manor. They have a beautiful place, and my place. Well, some people don't think it's beautiful, but I do. I try to work real hard at that. But you know, what happens when we have a non-conforming use for our property that we've all worked our tails off to build up? I know Bavarian Manor, Stan took that business over, and his wife, they took that business over, and it was on the skids, and they worked their tails off, and they developed and restored that business. But one thing Stan did is they now have some apartments there. Great, I have no problem with that. But you know, when I die, and my wife and I leave this world, my kids are going to be there, and they're going to have that property. And what happens if they decide, let's not be in the construction business anymore. Let's not be landscaping. Let's not be running bulldozers. Let's not be in this business. Let's start an air conditioning business. And we have a nice garage. We can store materials in there. We have the area. Or let's sell the property to somebody that has horses, and they want to have some shows there, and they want to have some practice rings for their horses, and they want to graze them and so on. But that's a non-conforming use. They really can't do that. And so now you really hurt me so much because I'm not here anymore. You hurt my kids. You hurt Stan's kids. You hurt Massman's. You hurt them because here's the two young guys that are taking that business over, and they've developed a beautiful golf course. But then, you know, when they want to expand that their facilities, or they decide that maybe there's something that they want to put in, and it's not really so conducive to the area. Oh, they live in a beautiful area. Let's not crap up that area. They've worked on that all their lives. They've developed that beautiful business, and now somebody's going to be here zoning to say, too bad, boys. You know, grit your teeth. You're going to have to live with what you got. It's not fair.
30 seconds.
Just a few more thoughts. Just trying to take some notes. Well, at any rate, basically that's where I come from, and I just feel that this is what this country is going through with not letting businesses and not letting things take their course. And I think in the last 26 years, me being here...
Hey, you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA Catskill Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Green and Columbia counties.
Gary Koopman. I'm sure President Hess or Paul Zoning Commission has done their work in earnest. Going back a few years ago, the young lady who's been presenting these so-called Zoning Commission their information told them, I was at the president at that time, that they should call themselves the Carroll Planning Board Advisory Board. They ignored such. The Department of State of New York says without zoning, there can be no Zoning Commission. Brought that up to the town board, and evidently they never followed up on it either. I would like to know when the town's people voted to have our town board, have given the town board permission to spend monies to pursue zoning. We have a planning board, and a site plan is on file. Why are we on a path to spend taxpayers' money on zoning, which has to pay out salaries now and in the future to expand? I feel that the public should be the ones to vote into law or not this zoning. I find my property, which I bought as a defunct business, putting my family's money into it to only find out that tourism had not been promoted enough to draw New York State tourism. Sorry, I've been making notes on scrap paper. Saving money. I do not feel that putting zoning into effect while not making it more complete is wrong. One big example of this plan is the obstruction to have Hannaford site structure plans to bring to Carroll a larger and more modern business on the beginning of Main Street. I don't know if you may call that downtown. I don't know what you call it. Which in itself will replace an old business site now in use. I note wanting a structure to be maximum 35-foot setback from the curb, and the parking lot for the same to be behind the building in the rear is absurd. I believe from my project superintendent's experience, that the planning board knows little or nothing about site plans, construction of structures, or how to plan construction, the size of a shopping plaza such as Hannaford. Who in their right mind would put the back of their business towards the street, especially when deliveries need to be made and back it for the same on the out of sight? I thank you very much.
Sue Hilgendorf, Chief Conservator.
Hi, good evening. I think most of you know me, Sue Hilgendorf, Round Top. I've lived here all my life. And just a few comments. I certainly have to say that I agree, particularly with Peter Rickey's comments, the Mossman's, and many of the other opinions that have been expressed this evening. I'm not going to go through them all again because you've asked us not to do that, but I just do want to say I feel that I have reviewed both the earlier plan and the new one. I think 160-some pages is far too prescriptive, far too onerous. I agree with who's going to enforce this. Come on. I mean, and this is how I feel. I feel that we're being punished, most of us. And now the people who have spoken here tonight, we can all attest to the fact that they have been excellent stewards of their own property. If you can go around, go to any one of these people who's just spoken tonight, and their properties are beautiful. By those of us who have for years and years in all our lives, my family's been here since the early 1830s, why we need to pay and be punished while we're good stewards of our property and have done beautiful things with them. There are codes on the books now that would address many of the issues that people have a problem with, the things that are existing in town now, some of the unsightful things that have been noted tonight. Could be taken care of with some of the codes that are already on the books and not being enforced. So I just believe that at this point, to pass this zoning proposal is a slap in the face to those of us who have lived here all our lives, who've made our homes here, our businesses here, and we, along with all of you who sit there, want this to be the most beautiful, most wonderful town it can be.
Preston Nichols, come forward.
Yeah, my name is Preston Nichols. I moved up here 7 years ago from Islington, East Islington, on Long Island. I'm a retired electronics engineer scientist. I have worked for the NSA. And I came up here for one reason. I watched all these little small electronic companies on Long Island go in and out of business, mainly because of restricted town ordinances, and most of these companies closed up and went overseas. That's what happened to our jobs on Long Island. Now, I wanted to come up here. I came up here because there is no zoning. I'm not going to go into the rest of everyone else's ordinance, it's very well stated. But I came up here with a patent in hand. I wanted to establish a manufacturing operation. I spoke to people on the town board and in the planning board. And it became so restricted, I'm not partnered with a big company up in Albany employing over 60 people with jobs at $30,000 a year or more. And also, I would like to address the premium. We need windows. We need solar power. We need to be able to attack the street. Everything in Greene County, not just Carroll, is very restrictive on this. I can design a window if you won't hear whatsoever. I'm basically an audio engineer as well. I can apply the same technologies in the model car. No noise cancellation on the windows. And we can build them small enough where you'll hardly see it. That's my say at this point.
Vicki Persanowski, come forward. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Good evening. My name is Vicki. Yes, my wife turns it out. P-E-R-Z-A-N-O-W-S-K-I. My husband and I, Tony, we own U.S. Paper Counters on Elizabeth Terrace. Obviously, most of the parents are familiar with us because when we built back in 1989, since there was no zoning in Carroll, there was nothing they could do to stop us. We got a lot of bad publicity. We got a lot of people that were against us. They did everything to stop us, but they couldn't because there was no zoning. Not the kind of closed zoning, but I think it's, by the way, I do agree with Peter and Ed Boston. They had a lot to say. I think everybody wants Carroll to progress. It has, I think, in many ways. Right now, U.S. Paper Counters, we pollute less than your average single-family house. We don't have washing machines. We don't do any cleaning of any type of equipment or anything. We manufacture sheet counting equipment that half, I'm sure, most of Carroll doesn't even know what we do. But we're nominated and are receiving the Exporter of the Year Award.
I'm sorry, nominated and receiving the...
An award for the Exporter of the Year. Okay, for New York State. So. Nobody knows what we do. But don't throw these away because we can count them and make sure you have as many that you need. That's what we do. We go 100% accuracy. The Bureau of Engraving in Fort Worth and Washington, they have about 50 of our machines. And anything that you have, if you've had, and anything that you're counting, and you're reading right now, our machines count those. We are in among 200 countries in the world. And I've been lucky to travel a lot. Tony apologizes he couldn't be here. He just got shot in his back today, so he's not young well. Also, I do want to thank you for the work that you are doing. Just obviously, you please so many people, so much of the time. And the little red hen where you are baking the bread, and nobody wants to help you bake the bread, but they want to eat the bread. So good luck in doing what you're doing, and I hope everybody gets satisfied, and some people get satisfied.
Helen Chatterton, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Helen Chatterton, and my family has been in this community since the town was formed.
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
Hi, my name is Helen Chatterton, and my family has been in this community since the town was formed. That's an omen. Since the town was formed, actually, and before 1800, so there's a lot of history there and a lot of love for this community. Everything has really been very well said. I commend what Peter Rickey said, what the Mossmans said, what Sue Hildendorf said. She actually echoed my words. That's exactly what I wanted to say. I just think that the democratic process here has been bypassed somewhat. I think that these zoning things should be left up to the people to vote on. I think this is a... I think the comment that Catskill has 30-something pages and we have 160-something is meaningful. And I think that there's just too much here, and I got the old copy and then I got the new copy, and I've been trying to glance through this and it makes your head spin. I am concerned that I go through the town, and I was away, I moved away, and now I'm back, and I go through the town and the Main Street's dead. And I'm looking at all of these concerns that these small businesses have, that these restrictions are not going to be supportive of creating small business, which is what we want. We do. So I want you to consider that. I think that the only positive thing that I've heard here tonight is the obviously the level of work that has gone into creating this document. I can understand that. I'm a professional myself. I get it. But this is a little bit overboard, and you're bypassing the wishes of the people, which is obviously clear here this evening. Thank you.
And that's what's going to happen here, or it's going to become Death Valley, because the restrictions that you have on the people here and the small businesses are just out of hand. Zoning may be a good thing for other places, but not right here, and especially not now. Gas is $4 a gallon. People can't afford to build. Our kids can't afford to live here. I don't even know if we could afford to live here. Raising taxes keep going. That's all I got to say.
Bill McKinney, please come forward. Bill McKinney. Oh, okay, sorry.
Members of the Zoning Commission, I'm Bill McKinney with the Hanifer Brothers. Good evening. I'm Bill McKinney with Hanifer Brothers. I very much appreciate the comments that the public has made here this evening, and they've covered most of our concerns. We do think that it's important for our store that we're proposing on the Slater Square American site to be moved further back on the site. We think that will open up views to the mountains beyond, which we think is a valuable town resource. The public also mentioned parking. We think it's important for parking to be conveniently located at the store entrance for our customers. As a compromise, we'd be glad to put some of our parking around the sides of the store for our employees, but we do think that the predominant parking should be right in front of the store for customers. And we'd be glad to provide landscaping in the parking lot and considerable buffering along Main Street, which is part of our site plan. Our third concern, which has not been mentioned, is signs. We would like to be allowed to have signs similar to what's in that median area at that intersection. And our fourth concern is the retroactive nature of the new zoning ordinance. It will probably take Hannaford several months to go through the process of obtaining state-level permits. At the end of that process, we'll submit for a building permit with the town. If the new zoning goes into effect, it requires that we go back to the beginning, start over, which will take many additional months to re-engineer, re-review the project both at the state level and locally with the planning board, which will be expensive. And we would ask that the new zoning simply not be retroactive. So once an applicant submits plans to the planning board, we would be reviewed under the existing bylaws with the town and not be required to redo the process if the new zoning is enacted. And I do think that if the town chooses not to enact zoning, that the existing bylaws are very well structured to ensure that our project is well designed. And we look forward to working with the town and building our store and servicing the customers here in Cairo. Thank you.
Richard Brasilia come forward, please.
Can I speak up here so I can run for the exit right after I speak? I wasn't going to say anything at all after I heard the sentiment that was here today, because it's pretty obvious how at least those who are here feel. I know a lot of these people at modeling class, and I've been here a long time myself. I know that this board worked very hard on this, and I know that they tried to strike a balance between some kind of reasonable restriction and at the same time not trying to make it impossible for people to develop businesses, even people who wanted to develop businesses in their homes. The main concern that I had, and the reason I favored some kind of zoning ordinance, is that I've seen so many places around town where one person's freedom to do what they want with their property is harming somebody else's ability to live on their property. And I think something should at least be said for that, and I hope and I know that that was one of the major concerns that people had in terms of favoring some kind of zoning ordinance. Nobody wanted something that is overly restrictive, and that's what's being debated here today, whether it's too much or whether it's enough. And I can't answer that question. I'm sure nobody here today can answer it, although the sentiment is obviously that it isn't. So you people worked very hard on this. I know you've been very responsive to what people have asked about, but there's so many specifics that it's going to be very difficult to deal with that. And I know that that's the next step that you're going to have to go through, is look at all of the concerns, the specific questions, and the things that were brought up here. I was on the original planning board when Tony Berzanowski opened that business on Elizabeth Terrace. They were very fortunate that it was him and not somebody else. I spoke to him about it one time, and he even said at one point, you know, if there's no restriction in place, then we can do this. They were lucky. It's a nice-looking building, and it hasn't adversely affected the people there very much. But businesses don't belong in residential areas. Small businesses that are run out of homes, I've seen some where you don't even know they exist, and I've seen some that cause a tremendous problem for people, and something has to be done about that. I've heard many people say, well, you know, we don't enforce existing ordinances. That's a problem of lack of enforcement, not a problem of an ordinance. That's a separate question. And it may be true that this one wouldn't be enforced any more than another one. I don't know that. But that's an enforcement problem, and something has to be done about that. It's hard in a small town to tell people that you know you can't do something. And many times when people receive kind of a variance, or they're allowed to do something, they think that it's okay that somebody didn't enforce something. But I just wanted to speak up for those who feel that there should be some kind of limited zoning in effect to control the use of property that adversely affects others. Nobody wants to restrict what the Mossmans have done and the others and so forth. You know, they run businesses, they create jobs, they bring people into the area. Nobody wants to restrict that unduly. But to have no protection at all in place seems to me to be a mistake. Exactly how to do that, I'm not sure. It's a big document, and I can't really give you a specific answer on that. So that's my main concern, but I understand the concerns of the people who are speaking here. But I also believe that maybe there would be more development if there were reasonable restrictions in place. Maybe some people aren't coming here because there isn't zoning. Because there isn't some way to restrict the harm that one person can do to another. And that's the biggest concern I had. And I think people know what I'm talking about. The places where somebody has something developed next to them that's making it difficult for them to live their life reasonably or sell their property or keep their property value up. The people who are doing that aren't here tonight. These people are people that work in businesses and they're just trying to do their job. And some of them I know, some of them I don't know. But I'm sure that the people who are making it difficult for people to live probably aren't here tonight. So thank you, and I'm going to run over there and get out of here right now. So.
Mike Real Hall, come forward, please. Tyler Andrea, come forward, please.
The question's already been asked. It's fine.
Emily Calabrese, come forward.
Hello, my name is Emily Calabrese. I'm from Carroll. Okay, I'm here this evening. Okay, I agree with everything Mr. Yuzilia said. We do need to protect our property values as we go forward. And I'd also like to comment about Main Street in Carroll. Okay, we have Main Street with our small stores, and then we have the area where Hannaford is proposing to go, Main Street Commercial. Okay, I would like to see Main Street Commercial extended to encompass from Cedar Street to where the proposed Hannaford is going. Okay, I feel that that would encompass Acre Building Supply. It would also encompass Fabrizio's old storage tanks. Okay, and that would allow for different types of development to come in that would not be as restricted as they would be as being in the Main Street zone and allow for larger commercial uses. Okay, and I think that would be advisable. We don't want to go ahead and restrict business use. And that seems to be our area at this time that's being heavily developed. Thank you.
Vince Dabrowski.
My name is Vince Dabrowski. I lived in Round Top. I moved up 11 years ago because there was no zoning in Round Top. And I'm against zoning.